During holiday travel, some people get delirious, some get delayed, and some get Del Griffith.
American light and fixture, director of sales, shower curtain ring division.
Neil Page got all three.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the modern Cornish family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
Are you mad at me?
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Plane, train, and automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
You want to not listen to this podcast? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. We're an easy target. Yeah, you're right. We talk too much. We also drink too much, too. We could be a cold-hearted cynic, like some of you, but we don't want to hurt people's feelings. You think what you want to think about us. We're not changing. We like us. Our wives and kids like us, some of us. Our listeners like us because we're the real article. What you see is what you get. And what you get today is a Thanksgiving special fit for you to sit around the dinner table and listen to with your family. Today, finally, we are talking about the 1987 John Hughes comedy classic Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Steve Martin and John Candy. And as you know, I do not do these shows alone. So joining me, as always, are two guys that probably think they're a Neil, but might actually, in fact, be more of a Del. Mr. David Corsetto and Mr. Christopher Morris, happy Thanksgiving. How are you doing? David, how are you? And what are you drinking?
I'm fair at best.
Fair at best. That's, look, you're present. That's all we could ask for at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for putting it in again.
I'm drinking Knob's Creek.
Again.
Kind of like a play on Schitt's Creek where Neil was all movie long. So it's a little reference to that.
Wait, we'll accept.
Christopher, how are you doing?
Michael, I'm doing well. I am drinking an IPA called Clouds Candy from Mr. John Candy, who is up in the clouds. God bless him.
Very good.
It's even better than my... So last night when we were supposed to record, I had Blue Moon for... You know, I had a Blue Moon for the Blue Moon in Kentucky, which is appropriate. I don't know if you got the reference, Dave.
I didn't get it.
That is what they were singing in the car.
Yeah, I had a two of that. So for me, I know this drink is more synonymous with Christmas, but to me, it always sparks the beginning. Always reminds me of Thanksgiving morning. I'm drinking eggnog. Nice eggnog.
I knew you were going to do eggnog. And I was going to actually do eggnog tonight as well. I'm like, I can't be a pussy.
It's got a little... No, I spiked it with a little demon seed whiskey, but it's still eggnog.
Demon seed. That is disturbing when you describe it in eggnog.
Yeah.
Leftover Mexican.
That's right. Yeah, this is I read classic, comedy classic, traditional, like, as far as it becomes some people's... like viewing every Thanksgiving. And Dave and Chris were both, I don't know if they were shocked or just disappointed with the fact that this, I believe, was my second viewing of this said movie, which is ridiculous. I mean, I was 11 years old when it came out. Maybe I thought it was like, I don't know, 2008, too mature, and I wasn't mature enough. Yes, I said mature. I don't know how it just kind of passed me by in 1987. I don't know.
I would categorize it as I was shocked and disappointed.
That fits.
You haven't seen that one time. I just didn't get it.
After watching it again, I was disappointed with myself.
Good, good. As long as we're on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's always been, I just always thought it was hilarious when I first saw it. Just always been a great comedy, a great John Hughes, you know, he did the great teen movies and it was just a great adult John Hughes movie. And then it actually did become like a Thanksgiving thing for my family and we watch it, you know, pretty well before Thanksgiving and, you know, into the Christmas season, but it's a great tradition. And friends of mine, Brian, who I've mentioned, Kuchar and his wife, Christine, hopefully are listening to this pod tomorrow on their trek. The trek,
drive safe.
Not similar to Dell and Neil, but they love this movie also. And Brian and I always talk about it leading up to Thanksgiving. And he mentions how Christine and I always, you know, he laughs at how emotional we get. And good old Dell. We have a love for Dell.
Hard not to. Actually,
love is not a strong enough word for Dell.
It's funny because all the things that Steve Martin or Neil is annoyed by are perfectly like reasonable things to be annoyed by. Dell is annoying.
We'll get into that.
This is the odd couple on the road.
Yeah.
Is what this movie is.
Yep. It's a great it's a great road trip movie. A great buddy road trip movie. Way to put it, Dave.
With a lot of heart. This movie's got so much friggin' heart. It's awesome.
With a lot of heart. I'm going to watch it again. So many great quotes. My friends and I just, I remember certain friends just always using quotes from the movie.
Well, it's funny. Even the, you know, here's a neat idea. When you tell a story, have a point. I said,
that's funny. That's
from this. Exactly.
Yep. My friend Mark Ross always I don't need to use last names, I guess. My friend Mark always,
what's his address,
quoted that had that Dell quote, I mean Neil quote. Here's an idea: when you tell a story, have a point.
More interesting for the listener.
But yes, Dell is even, there's something I became enraged about Dell at. Again, Mikey, my catchphrase, we'll get to it, but that is so over the top ridiculous. So it's good stuff.
We will get to it.
But just a great, great holiday movie.
Was this something, glad we're doing it. Is this something you remember seeing when it first came out in the theater or anything like that?
I vaguely remember I saw it in the movie theater and just thought it was hilarious. I didn't you know associate it with Thanksgiving or anything. I thought it was a great comedy.
I remember watching it with my mother and my aunt Joanna. I just remember my mother laughing her ass off in the airport scene, like where she just lost control laughing at the airport scene where he was trying to get the rental car and
classic scene.
Memory.
That is, and the edited version is terrible.
Terrible. You cannot watch the edit. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's funny, John Candy, I didn't really appreciate John Candy. You know, he was funny in Stripes, and I just never appreciated him as much as...
To me, it was Splash. I know whatever people
yes,
say.
Yes, I know.
He was great.
I just didn't appreciate, and I just, this is my favorite character of his. And then, you know, obviously subsequently as he, you know, after he died, it's like becomes even sadder at the end.
Yeah.
But he's just so quotable. He's just so good. He's actually good acting.
What I notice is, when you know his story and you watch him again, it's like, these little tells that you wouldn't notice, but you notice this time and you realize, oh God, these little things that are hitting them.
And honestly,
so like, well done.
But when you hear about John Candy, the actor, and John Candy, the human, he's like very similar to that character, like very genuine guy. So it was, yes, was. So God rest his soul. But yeah, so he was definitely, I think, and the combination between the both of them in this movie was just spot on.
Oh, it was great chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry was incredible.
It was great. And Mikey said, as Mikey said, he read all about it and saw that it was like so much longer, the script, than they.
It was normal. I think I read 170 pages.
And they shot like, it was like 4 hours, the movie originally.
But like, because yeah, if you watch one of the trailers for the movie, they show Neil eating pizza. They show Del
brownies,
flossing or doing Elvis in front of the mirror. All these little things that didn't happen.
Oh yeah, he does it. Elvis. I'm glad it is, you know, it was cut to exactly. But it seems perfect.
When they talk about taking the money for the pizza, or they talk about who knew that the bed would shake the beer up, and they didn't show it, that actually made it funnier. Just him just talking about it. Who would have thought that?
Definitely. It was funny. So I read, they said, John, you know, you saw that they were shooting so long. They were shooting some scenes in Buffalo because they needed the right amount of snow. And I guess John Candy had like exercise equipment flown in. That's what Steve Martin said. He had treadmills and other things, and he's like, oh yeah, he never used it.
Yeah, so
all this exercise equipment flown into for their long shoot, and he never used it. So.
Unfortunately, when I looked up Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the first thing I saw was the inevitable reboot.
I don't even know,
but it was in the plans.
Oh my god,
with Will Smith and Kevin Hart.
God help us.
No. Not because they're not fine actors, just because I don't want to see it being reproduced.
Oh, there's no need for it. It's disgusting. So, no need for it.
And they could do something similar and call it something else.
Yeah, really, just unnecessary.
It's like someone recreated It's a Wonderful Life. It just can't be done.
Well, it happened. That happened, and so did...
Was that Heaven Can Wait? For it.
No, Heaven Can Wait was great.
Oh, that
Heaven Can Wait was another remake of something. I think Mr. I forget the name of it. But that movie, we should do that sometimes. Another timely classic that was in the 70s. But
Good movie.
Heaven Can Wait is
great movie.
So yeah, love it. But Planes, Trains, Automobiles, just a classic. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, I mean, just a quick, brief note for our listeners. This is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So if you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, we're doing this the night before, when normally, you know, it's the night to be out and be cool and drinking. We decided to not do that and stay home for you, the listeners.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
We're also old.
No, no, don't say that. Don't say that. They don't even
know that. We gave up the, Spanish Sean is at the clatter right now.
Yeah.
You know, listening to some good.
No. He's at the Irish cottage.
You follow the conversation. How he besmirched the great institution that used to be the clatter, and on the night before Thanksgiving.
In your 20s and 30s. In your 20s, 30s, and maybe 40s for you, Chris.
Into your 40s, yep. Once you hit the 50s, it's a little, you know.
It's too far of a drive. Once it's too far of a drive.
Exactly. So, yeah, and then when the Dewey closes, forget it. It's time to close up shop. When the Dewey closes for repeated COVID violations, then that's it. Time to hang it up. So, here we go.
Boom.
Starts with the credits. You get the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you know, sound effects.
With both, all three.
You heard that. And then they're in New York. Is this at Arlington National Cemetery?
There was
no ocean. So,
no.
As Greg pointed out, there was no ocean, so it couldn't be. So, they have the scene, I have written down 80s clothes. Neil's always wearing like giant suits and everything big.
What I like about John Hughes is he always has these group of actors that he seems to use.
Yes, I have that written down. So many actors that he uses in multiple films.
Steve Martin's co-worker there.
Yes, Ferris Bueller's dad, right.
Yep.
And so they're in the meeting, and they're in advertising, marketing, Neil says, and the guy never says a word. He just keeps looking, and Neil's like, I have to catch a plane. And he looks like he's going to say something. He never says a word. And so Neil's like, I got to catch a plane, and she expects to see me by 9. I don't know what to call him. Ferris's father. Ferris's says, dad, yeah. You're never going to make it. I booked a later flight. He's like, oh, I forgot my gloves, which is obviously, foreshadowing. It's like, I forgot my gloves. Ah, forget it. I'll get on the cab, get on the plane. And so he goes to get a cab. You have the 80s music already. Yeah. It's great. And you see Kevin Bacon.
I was like, awesome. What is he showing him?
It's awesome. They're looking that they both see a cab become available, and they play the music and they both race for it. And he looks like he has the inside track, and he trips as he's yelling, and you see Dell's chest.
Yep.
Del O. Griffith. You see that? I don't know. Someone referenced that it was dog, the initials dog, like he plays in Spaceballs?
He's a Mog in Spaceballs, let's be honest.
He's Barf. So then he sees the lawyer, he hailed one, he tries to barter with him, he gives him $75, and the guy's like, I'm up close, I'm an attorney, So he's, by the time he barters and gets the cab, Dell had the guy put his case in it, and it drives away. And as we said, I'd never noticed before, Neil goes to look, there's a puddle. You know how it shows a puddle, Dave?
Yep.
So I guess there's a couple of shower curtain rings. I read that and I had to pause it, but it shows a couple of shower curtain rings. That's on that. Awesome. And he's like, you stole my cab, and he chases it. And
the look on John Candy's face, when the door opens.
He opens the door, he tries it. Yeah, it's great. Makes it to the airport like 2 minutes before, right? It's pre-9/11. He's like,
I know, Jesus.
Could almost make it in, flight delayed. So, flash at home, the kid with his, I prefer noogies, his son.
That was one of the Lawrence brothers. One of the Lawrence
brothers. Oh, was it?
Yeah, Joey, Matthew Lawrence.
Okay. Joey. So, Neil calls his wife, shouldn't be later than 10. So, this is when he first sees Dell. He's reading, what book is he reading, Mike?
The Canadian Mounted?
The Canadian
Mounted. So he's basically reading erotic literature.
Right? It's erotic, yeah. It's an erotic novel right in the middle of it. Oh, by the way, did you notice he has his shoes off already, too?
Oh, I did not see that, no.
Yeah. My wife loves, my dogs are barking. Sign. Quote.
Yep.
So I have written down in his socks already. John Candy's best character, like I said. He's like, oh, yeah, I never stole anything in my life. He's like, that was pretty easy to get a cab. And he's like, and then he offers him a bunch of things. Let me buy you a hot dog. I'm like, coffee. No, I'm careful what I put in my body. Gum. So then they're on the plane. Neil's arguing for his first class ticket. You have a first class seat assignment. He's kind of a pain in the ass, but no, he's in the right. But
right.
He seems like a little bit of a pain in the ass, but she's like, but he's in the
right. He's that typical 80s. Executive kind of businessman.
Yeah. Look, I've had just about enough of you. She says, oh, you've had enough about me. Enough of me. So then you see the seat. He sits next to Dell. Dell's asking about his job. You already see how rough Dell is.
I am more like Neil there, where it's just, I don't want to talk to people I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's I don't mean to be. Neil's perfectly polite.
Yeah.
It's like, my friend of mine, he's asking a million questions, and he keeps going on and on about, nothing worse than some chatterbox. So, and the old guy from Home Alone, notice that, who's sleeping on his shoulder. Like you said, John Hughes actors are all over the place. And then Dell takes off the socks. I'm telling you, my dogs are barking today. Oh. My wife puts that all the time.
Which I've seen people do that in planes.
That was
terrific. You see Neil's fit, just horrified.
Yeah, but I think this is like that whole setup of how that relationship is going to look the rest of the movie. So it's actually perfect.
Oh, yeah. So Neil is perfectly polite about it, and he's fine. Yep. But right, Dell's rough and old guy sleeping on his shoulder, Dell's in his other on his other side. He says, you know, $6 in my left nut says we're not gonna land in Chicago.
Yeah, I love that little quick little line.
Yeah. So they land in Wichita and calls his wife, "What's going on, Neil?" He's like, "We can't." She's like just doubting what he's saying. They like, "What do you mean close Chicago?"
And Dell's a giant like, snowstorm, you know?
Yeah. Dell's prying. So the whole thing's based on, I guess, John Hughes had a trip. He lived in Chicago. He had a business trip in New York and he got shuffled all over the place. This is years earlier. Went to like Denver.
Yeah.
So you read that?
I read that.
I've actually had my own planes, trains, and automobiles. But you know,
did you?
I know my brother did like a couple of years ago. Yeah.
People always reference that.
Is that the one where you ended up taking a bus ride and I picked you up in the middle of the night at the bus station in Boston?
Yeah, Vegas.
Mikey's always there for you.
That's right.
Vegas to Philadelphia. I got stuck in Philadelphia, so I decided to get into a cab, cross town, went to a bus depot in Philadelphia, and exactly it would make you think of what a bus depot looks like in Philadelphia. Hung out with a guy named Cool Chirac. Not kidding. And then took a bus from Philadelphia to New York and then from New York to Boston.
Wait a minute, didn't you leave that guy and say, "Could you watch my phone? I'm going to go to the bathroom."
I said, "Can you watch my laptop or my phone? I got to use the restroom." I was like, "Cool, man.
What are you,
cool.
insane?"
It's insane.
And it was, still there?
I wasn't good. It was still there, yeah.
I hope you appreciate friends like Dell. I mean, Mikey.
That yeah, I did. Right?
Were there.
I was there.
Pick you up. Maybe he annoys you,
yep.
But he's always there.
Now I read something
he's
about
like my Dell.
Thank you. Yes. I'm your Dell. Yes.
Or maybe I'm Dell to you. I'm just the skinnier version of Dell.
Right. You're a Dill Dell. I read one
Dildo. What?
I don't know. It didn't come out right. I read something in the trivia where, at the same time where he's calling home, there was like you could hear people talking in the background, and it was supposed to be characters from She's Having a Baby, which is the John Hughes movie with Kevin Bacon. Yeah. So I don't know if Kevin Bacon's supposed to be playing the same character. I don't know.
Well, people thought Kevin Bacon was playing like a similar character. And then his wife is watching, as we said, you know, as we'll get to, don't really need to reference that, but she's watching that movie. I guess, I think it came out like later that year.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's watching that movie in one scene. So, but yeah, this is a more great Dell quotes. He's asking, "Is trouble on the home front?" I really don't think that's any of your business. I have a motto: like your work, love your wife. And he's like, "No chance in hell we're getting out of here. Better chance of playing pickup sticks with your butt cheeks." So you have Ben Stein announcing the cancellations. Another. You see Destination Nowhere. Did you notice that?
I didn't, but I read that later.
Nice. So, and then Dell already, you know, Dell knew what was up. He booked a room. And Neil looks at sees the person like sleeping there. He's like, "Okay, I'll come. I'll go with you." So they go to Doobie's Taxi. They get a ride in Doobie's Taxi. Takes him the scenic route, you know, in the middle of the night.
Yeah, he just thought he'd like to see it.
He's a great character though.
Just Doobie, little, right? Just that's what John Hughes is good at too. Peppering little weird characters throughout the story.
Oh my God, there's so many great ones in this, right? So many great side characters. And so, yeah, the seedy looking hotel, Gus comes in. He's very, very happy to see Dell. And this is, you know, he mixes up the credit cards and they're like one room. He's like, "Okay, we're going to share it. Tiny room."
The Diners Club.
Right, credit card. So they get their room and they both of them go into the room and they see that there's one bed, right? Some good 80s homophobic humor.
Well, you know, I thought about that and I thought, you know what though? They're strangers. It's a little different. I mean,
it's definitely different. Yeah, it's definitely
I've shared okay,
it's still
a bed
the same
with
if you and I were in the same room, Mikey.
No, it wouldn't be the same.
No, it wouldn't be the same. I've shared a bed with you.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, complete like he barely knows him. So
yeah.
So he's like, and then he's like, "You want to take a shower?" No, what do you mean? No, what do you thought of that? So
yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
So it's great. So this part is the best and it's outrageous. So
it's disgusting.
Yeah, you see, Dell's at his best. So, but you see, so Neil's in the shower, he's all soaked up. You see Dell smoking and drinking. He's got every, you know, so much stuff. He's got a get a picture of Marie, put some money in the vibrating bed. He's got beers. When did he get beers? So Neil gets out of the shower. I took a screenshot of this too, by the way, right? I sent it to you guys.
Yeah.
So again, Del, we love Del, lovable character that we just awesome. What kind of monster uses like 7 towels?
That was monster. At first I thought, is this place just gross? But I realized Del did it all.
You know, the one other guy had to take a shower. Monstrous act, just barbaric, that he uses every towel, right? Oh. That's one thing. And then I took a screenshot of, he has like 7 different, you know, antacids. It's awesome. You see that? If you notice that scene,
nail clippers on the friggin' sink.
His gold nail clippers. Oh. So he was clipping his toenails or fingernails, whatever. I mean, how long were they there? How long was Del in the bathroom?
Yeah,
we got to break that down.
Very slovenly, man.
It's funny because Neil gets that small towel, that hand towel. Every time I have like a small, like if somehow we've ever been out of towels and I have to dry myself with, it reminds me of Neil, like drying my back. Good stuff. So
I just cringe when Neil's getting out of the shower and it's like there's like newspaper on the ground.
Stepping on the ground, that grosses me out.
Steps on the wet ground. Exactly. It's I mean, are we too kind on Del? As much as we love Del.
In this scene you're too kind on Del because he's definitely
disgusting. Is he a sociopath?
Yeah. He doesn't have awareness. He has no personal awareness.
It's unbelievable. So all right, the lights out, Neil's annoyed.
Now I don't know if it was at this hotel or not. There was it might have been the other hotel because I saw a screenshot where they showed like handprints on the wall that were like basically up against the headboard, like how showing how bad this hotel is. I saw it on Twitter, some screenshot.
That's funny. It's good stuff. Yeah, I don't. It's either something I never noticed or that it wasn't in this.
Might be the other
regular version. So, you know, Del couldn't switch pillows because he's allergic to sponge.
I'd switch pillows with you, but I'm allergic to sponge. I got a bad allergy to it. I'd be sneezing all night with that thing. That's why I carry my own pillow. It's hyperallergenic. I had no idea those beer cans were going to blow like that.
You left them on a vibrating bed. What did you think was going to happen?
It's been a long day. It just didn't occur to me.
It didn't occur to you, so I have to sleep in a puddle of beer.
You want to switch?
No, I just want to sleep.
Me too. I am bushed.
Good night.
Good night.
I had no idea those beer cans would explode. Yeah, how would you know? So they both actually say goodnight. Del's reading with a lighter. And this is when his wife is cut to his wife as she's watching Having a Baby or the Kevin Bacon movie.
Yep.
So then Del does the whole routine before he goes to sleep, cracks his knuckles, scratching, some nice scratching. Just
everything.
In there.
At that point, anything he does is annoying to Neil.
Clears his sinuses, and then he does the...
Sorry.
You know, and Neil's like, that's it. He freaks out, you know. What?
Why? That's it. If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night.
Gee, if your kid spills his milk, what do? Slap him in the head?
If your kid spills milk, do you slap him?
What is that supposed to
be? What's that? This is just one of the best.
What an outrageous comparison.
I know. Because he's aggravated by you. By lying in a wet bed and you making noises. Exactly. So he's tolerant and right, hostile.
Okay. But wouldn't you rather at that point have slept at the airport if you're Neil?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. So and right. I mean
the fucking horror show that he had to go through.
Del is a nightmare. And then he goes on his great rant.
You're not a very tolerant person. Look, you've been under my skin since New York, starting with ripping off my cab. God, you're a tight ass. How'd you like a mouthful of teeth? Oh, and hostile, too. Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal. Screw you. You spilled beer all over the bed. You smoke. You mess up the bathroom. Well, who let you stay in the room? I even let you pay for it so you wouldn't feel like an intruder, which you most certainly are.
Oh, I'm an intruder.
Yes, you're an intruder. I was having a perfectly nice trip until you walked into my life.
I walked into your life. Who was that who talked my ear off on the plane? Who was that? I'm curious.
Well, who told you to book a room? I did, out of the goodness of my dumb old heart. Boy, you're an ungrateful jackass. Well, go ahead, sleep in the lobby, see if I care. I hope you wake up so stiff you can't even move.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, and someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag? Didn't that give you some sort of clue, like, hey, maybe this guy's not enjoying it? You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. Honey, I'd like you to meet Del Griffith. He's got some amusing anecdotes for you. Oh, and here's a gun so you can blow your brains out. You'll thank me for it. I could tolerate any insurance seminar. For days, I could sit there and listen to them go on and on with a big smile on my face. They'd say, how can you stand it? And I'd say, because I've been with Del Griffith. I can take anything. You know what they'd say? They'd say, I know what you mean. Shower curtain ring guy. Whoa. It's like going on a date with a chatty Kathy doll. I expect you to have a little string on your chest, you know, that I pull out and have to snap back. Except I wouldn't pull it out and snap it back. You would. And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Great rant. Very, very quotable. Didn't you notice when people were reading the vomit, then when I was reading the vomit bag, just one of the most quotable rants. And he's like, you choose things that are mildly entertaining. And yeah, honey, I'd like you to meet Del Griffith. Here's a gun so you can blow your brains out. And he'd say, you know.
But just John Candy looks so hurt. Like, I was like, oh, Del.
Oh, it's crushing, right? John Candy has this hurt face and he keeps going. He's like, yeah, he has an idea. I have a point. Makes it so much interesting for the listener. And then Del's like, you know, you want to hurt me? I like me.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you. But I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real thing. What you see is what you get. O'Neill feels bad. They have the music. Goes to bed. They go back to bed. Guy robs them. They wake up. They wake up and, you know, back in baby's arms music. This is, like, you know, the obvious classic scene. The cuddling. Del kisses his ear.
That little kiss was, oh my
God. It's just so funny how they both, like, Neil's like, Del, why did you just kiss my ear? And Del was, like, out of it until then. And he's like, why are you holding my hand? You know, where's your other hand?
Del. Oh. Oh. Why did you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Between two pillows. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh, those bears. Oh, they got a good.
Hell of a, yeah. They might win it all this year. So good. So then Neil's in the bathroom. They're both freaked, you know, horrified. Neil's in the bathroom. Starts running the sink, splashing water. He doesn't notice the sink's full. You know, it's like,
oh,
what the hell?
Oh,
because he notices the smell. Notices the smell. He tells the socks are in there drying. I mean, washing. He's like, Neil grabs something, grabs a towel, and you see the Dell's giant tidy whities.
Just like, you think maybe they crossed. Like, okay.
Okay, at this point, would you like, all right, man, it's been great. I'm going to go my own way. I'll see you.
They do that. He does it soon, but.
I know, but at that point, I've already been gone. I think today's day and age is different than, I guess.
So they're at the diner, and Neil's like, you know, I'll get the check. I break precedent. I don't know why I always think of that, too. He's like, he doesn't have anything in his wallet. I had $700. I had to, you know, he's like.
Oh, he accused him of stealing.
Neil being a wise ass. He's like, you know, he's like, hey, it's empty. Gee, you know, we've been robbed. Gee, you think so? Steve Martin's great in this. So they're waiting. This is a classic.
Do you think this is Steve Martin's, one of Steve Martin's best roles?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He plays the straight man, but he's also, I mean, hilarious. He just does so
much. He has his moments, going out, going off.
You know, obviously the jerk is, you know, classic. So they're waiting for Gus's son. Like I said, like, I hope this isn't him. He's like, this isn't him. He's like, gee, I hope not. And then, so that guy did like his own, he improv the snorting sound. And I've done that sound just to mess with people. You know, it's so good.
And I read that Steve Martin did not know he was going to spit the char before he went to shake his hand.
He did that, right. He kicked the char out. He's like,
because he wanted a real reaction. Yeah.
Then he's like, train don't run out of Wichita, you know, unless you're a hog. And then this is great. This is what, maybe this is one of my few favorite Dell quotes. He yells at his wife, get your lazy behind out of here. You know, she had her first baby came out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing. Dell, you're a real trooper. The best. And so they're in the back freezing. Neil's trying to get the gloves. You get the good shot of him, them all frozen and the dog frozen, you know.
Yep.
They're at the train station. They didn't have two tickets together. Dell's like, oh, I could tell the girl was new. So Neil's like, oh, I'm going to say goodbye. It's been interesting. You know, they can laugh about it. It's been fun. Thinking he's going to get home. He's like, I didn't get your address. I want to send you the money for the ticket. And you could tell he doesn't want him to have his address.
Right. It's a gift. Yeah. Okay.
He's in a good mood, though. He's in a good mood.
Oh, he's a really good mood. Separated for the first time.
Yeah. But also, he thinks he's all set. He's going home. So Neil's all happy. He asks the girl, are you going home for Thanksgiving? Me too. He's psyched. And then, you know, the thing breaks down. The look on his face is like, are you shitting me? He's like, did they say smoke? They all have to walk up to the highway. Sees Dell. He's like, oh, geez. He helps him carry his trunk. So the bus ride, this is also a classic. You ever travel by bus? Dell eating and drinking. He's eating popcorn. He's drinking soda.
They're watching those two kids making out.
You see the two people like making out, and he's like, yeah, get a load of this. And then the guy's like, you know, they're on top of Neil. Yeah, why don't you take a picture to last? Like,
cool, you got caught. You got busted. He's like giggling at.
You got busted. Yeah, it's great stuff. After the couple, you know, they start singing. They cut to the next scene, and they're all singing. And he's like, anybody knows song? Neil starts singing Three Coins in a Fountain. I guess it's a Sinatra song or something. They're all staring at him. And then lovable Dell, Flintstones. Very simpleton. Bunch of simpletons.
Exactly.
A lot of fun. Everybody loves Dell.
That's the thing. Everybody else loves Dell. And Steve Martin gets the worst of them.
Exactly. So they show the next scene. He's selling shower curtain rings to, you know, make some money.
How do you do, man? My name is Dell Griffith. I'm with the American Light and Fixture Company, jewelry division. And I've got the deal of a lifetime for you. Do you have a minute? This is your Diane Sawyer autographed earring. You ever watch 60 Minutes? Thanks. This is Czechoslovakian ivory. That's $5. Great. This is your Walter Cronkite moon ring. Thank you. They are filled with helium, so they're very light. Thank you. This is an autographed Daryl Strawberry earring. All right. These are very special earrings, by the way. These were originally handcrafted for the Grand Wizard of China back in the 4th century. Now, these, of course, aren't the originals, but they are replicas, very good replicas, too. They're selling for $5 a pair, 2 for $7.
You can see how good of a salesman he is. He's all the lies he's telling.
Flash to Neil's family's Thanksgiving pageant. And he's like, oh, I missed it. They must all be there. Pre-cell phone, obviously. Nobody answered the phone. And just weird seeing stuff like that, right?
The whole world, the whole movie wouldn't even really exist.
Exactly. So different. Like he can't call his wife later on, right? He can't even. Probably thinks he's murdered in a ditch. So, he's like, you missed it. He's like, oh, those don't come back.
He just rubs that in.
They'll rub it in. Yeah. Spend it. And this is the, you know, I'm spending too much time away from home in Dell. I haven't been home in years. It's like, what? Seriously? And no,
that's the first clue.
Right. Yep. And then I read in the background there were like a waitress and a hostess. They all had the shower rings as earrings.
I didn't even notice that. I don't think I've ever noticed that. So Neil says, you know, we've put our heads together and really come up with nothing. And it's, you know, this is where you see Del a little annoyed the first time, the only time. He's like, I think we should split up, you know. You know, he's like, have a good Thanksgiving, whatever. He's like, you know, I'll see you. Yeah, sure you will. Del's pissed off, right?
And
so this is Neil. This is the classic. Neil gets dropped off at his rental, goes to his car. The spot is not there. He has to walk all the way back, slides down the embankment, across a runway. It's a mess when he walks in, and the lady from Ferris Bueller.
Edie McClure.
Yep. So I guess John Hughes had told her when they were doing Ferris Bueller, I guess he had the idea for this, you know. Think of a Thanksgiving, like a conversation or one that you could have on the phone or something. So she like ad-libbed her side of things, like, you know, we got to make ambrosia.
Right. Because you know, I can't cook, or I don't cook.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, I can't cook. I'm going to make the crescent rolls. It's awesome. So, and this still always cracks me up.
Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can start by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile, a fucking Datsun, a fucking Toyota, a fucking Mustang, a fucking Buick, 4 fucking wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back here to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're fucked.
You know, his whole, you can stop by wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks.
During, in a 60-second span about, they said the F-word was used 18 times, and this has to be the only reason it's rated R.
Yes,
of course it is.
Because there's nothing else in this movie that would lead to that.
Exactly. So Steve Martin said, I guess Steve Martin, when he read the script, this is why he took the movie. He's like, I love this scene. But he is so good at it. He's like, I really don't care for the way you left me in the middle of fucking nowhere. He's doing a fucking car.
That's like a volcanic situation where it is.
It's quite, you know, low hanging fruit, but it's so funny. Yeah. It's
hilarious. If you were in that position, you'd do the same thing.
Right.
It's a boy.
You saw the edited version. Is it is it bleeped or dubbed, or is it completely like it's reshot? Just,
it's
reshot.
Terrible. It's, yeah, terrible. It's terrible. He says it's both. And then she laughs at the end when, I guess a lot of people, when they see her in real life, say, they ask her to say, "You're fucked." You know, and she's, yeah, like, and he's like, "Well, oh boy, what?" And she's like, "You know, you're fucked," because he threw away his rental, whatever. So this part always cracks me up too, when they, when he goes out and what he says to this guy, and he's like, "You know, I need to rent a car. I'm going to Chicago. You know, you're in St. Louis." And he said, if I wanted a joke, I'd follow you into the restroom and watch you take a leak.
He's just so pissed at this point.
The guy, he said it to the wrong guy, apparently, right? Now you got to stand there, and the guy punches him. And then Dell almost hits him. So this car, John Hughes wrote Vacation too. The family truckster. They made the outside of this car like the family truckster in Vacation. Yeah, and it looks awesome. Exactly like it. So yeah, and then he's like, you know, now I'll move my car if you help my friend up, you know. And then again, lowbrow humor with his talking like, you know, the helium.
Right. There's a little like things of broad comedy in this, but it,
exactly. But I still love that, it.
One of my funniest lines was John Candy says, "I've never seen anyone picked up by the testicles before, or the nuts before, or whatever he said."
You're gonna have to tie your. What did he say?
I'm sure glad he didn't kill you.
First. Yeah.
You know how glad.
I'm glad he didn't kill you.
Yeah. Great. And so good. So then there, and I have written down everything in this car is great. Like, this is my favorite in this car. This, the rest of the part, like most of, a lot of my favorite parts. So Dell breaks the seat, right? He's trying to, you know, I can't reach to get my shoes off. He's like, "You don't need your shoes off." Him and Dell always taking his shoes off. And then he gets mad. You know, a lot of things bother me. You play with your balls a lot. He takes a shot at Neil, does the Larry Bird reference. And then Neil's in there. He's like, "I can't believe you broke the seat." You know, good stuff. And then he goes to sleep. Dell's listening to the Mess Around. Classic scene. Smoking a butt. Such a slob. Playing the piano. And throws the butt out after the scene. You know, he does the piano. Throws the butt out, goes in the back seat, and starts to get hot, tries to take the coat off. His both his sleeves get caught.
I'm like, hit the brakes.
Yeah, I know. But he's steering with his legs and slams on the brakes. Car spins around. Oh, I almost hit
first
a deer.
Of all, when that car's spinning, just the look on his face as it's spinning. Yeah.
When he screams, I love it. It's awesome. And then Neil wakes up and he's just like, "Oh, well, you should take your coat off." It's awesome. and this is, I actually have, this is my favorite sequence, because he gets back on the highway. You see the trucks coming the other way. These people are awesome. The guy goes, "Holy shit. Look at that guy driving on the wrong side of the highway. He's going to kill someone." Those people are awesome. Right. And Dell's like, "You know, I think that, you know, they want to race." Neil's like, "Don't race.
They want to race.
Let's go." He's trying to tell us something. You're going the wrong way. How do they know which way we're going?
He's like,
he goes, "Oh, he's drunk." Yes. And then the classic thing side. That my friends and I always used to do is when he does the, "Oh, okay," you know, the drunk thing. How does he know where we're going?
That's,
you're going in the wrong direction. Then Neil notices the divider. You see the two trucks, and then you see the, you know, they look like skulls. It's funny. Dell looks like Satan. Dell looks like the devil. And they... He breaks. Oh, so they break, and
they're
sideswiped by both trucks. They both, yeah, very unrealistic. I'm telling the kids, the trunk goes flying, the steering wheel bends.
Yeah, the Neil's fingers are dug into the dashboard.
Yep.
So funny.
Awesome. And this isn't too bad. They'll be able to buff this out, no problem. Awesome. So. Then you see they move the trunk out, they sit on the trunk. You see,
I love how they showed the fire.
Yeah, it's so cool. You see, you know, you hear the glass breaking, and they both turn around matter-of-factly.
Just like, yep. But you see the light on their back first. Like, you don't even see the fire. Yeah, yeah. Just kind of like,
exactly. Yeah. So okay. Then Neil breaks up laughing. I, you finally did it to yourself. And he's like, "How did you rent the car?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, I gave the girl a couple shower, you know, shower curtain rings. He's like, Dell, you can't rent a car with shower curtain rings. Finally, he's like, I had your car and you stole it.
See, this is where I was like, oh, Dell, that's not good.
No. And he's like, give it back. I can't. Because when you weren't looking, I put it in your wallet. Are you mad at me? I got punched. Awesome.
You could have killed me. That's how Houdini died.
Yeah, that's what he says when they're driving. When they're back at the El Rancho Motel. Also very quotable, this part. You see the car is totally, like, probably impossible to really drive in. So they drive there in the melted car. And Neil's like, I need a room. It'd be $73 or something. I don't have, you know, he gives him the credit cards. Those aren't credit cards, the guys. And so he's like, I have $42.50 and a nice, and he, really yeah, nice watch. When the guy's like, I can't do it. It's not my, I don't own the place. So he's like, no, I'm sorry. The room is $42.50. I'm sorry. And he has $17 and a really nice watch, right? And yeah. Then Dell's like, I like a room too. Cause he's like, oh yeah, we should, you know, Dell's like, you're getting your own room. He's like, and then Dell's laughs. He's like, guy's like, you want a room too? Yep. I don't have a, no, the guy says, do you have $17 and a really nice watch? No. I have $2 and a Casio.
That's the way he presents it. Yeah. I remember that the first time I saw it, loving man.
You know, what's funny is I had a Casio, probably I was like, and I was like, Casios aren't nice. I was like, what do you mean?
But that's like, fine timepiece.
So great. And
a Swatch watch.
Nice. But I have written down, I laughed out loud for the 50th time I've seen that scene. It's just so great. So the guy's like, I'm going to have to say goodnight. And then, you know, a little sad. Well, Marie, once again, you were right as rain.
Oh.
You know, he's talking. I have a big mother. Yeah. He's like, he goes, you meet someone you like and you do this. And then Neil's feeling bad. Finally, he opens the door. He's like, you can freeze.
When he's like, I wish I was with you. I was like, oh, when you know.
Yeah. Oh, he goes, yeah, we both know that's not going to happen. Not now, anyways. Gut punch right there. After Dell's gut punch.
But when you first start, you still didn't know what he meant.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, right. No, you first start, you weren't, you know.
Yeah, we might have thought they were separated or something or divorced.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, you get a freeze to death out there. Comes in. So they're together after this. You know what I mean? These guys mm-hmm. are been through enough. They're especially after the next scene, after they bond a little more with, they get hammered, drinking, they crack each other up. You know, they really hit the minibar, right?
Yeah.
Even, yep. There's no deposit on that. He used cash and a watch. So they hit the minibar, Jamaica man. He's like, oh yeah. But then he says, at the very least, you have a woman to grow old with that you love. He's like, love is not a big enough word. So they'll laugh, and he's like, oh, someday we're gonna look back and laugh. I'm laughing already. Dell's like, oh yeah, I look like a big whopper. Great. So good. Partners from here on in, I have so
right, and then like they had a good night together.
Yep. Then, well, and then the next morning, they're partners in crime. After he goes to rock the car, and it goes back into the room, and Neil's like, "Oh," it makes a funny reaction. Dell's like, "Holy shit!" So this is with they're singing "Blue Moon of Kentucky," right? And yeah, this is my favorite Dell. When they get pulled over.
By the great Michael McKean.
By Mike, by Lenny.
Great, great. Cop, watch it. How fast are you going?
I can't tell, the speedometer's melting.
Pull over.
Top of the morning, officer.
Hi.
Is there something I can help you with?
What the hell are you driving here?
We had a small fire last night, but we caught it in the nick of time.
You have any idea how fast you were going?
Well, funnily enough, I was just talking to my friend about that. Our speedometer's melted, and as a result, it's very hard to say with any degree of accuracy exactly how fast we were going.
78 miles an hour.
78, huh? Well, yeah, I could buy that, sure, I guess. You would know better than us, especially since we got a melted speedometer.
Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I believe that. I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go.
Now, you got no outside mirror.
No, we lost that.
You have no functioning gauges.
No, not a one. However, the radio still works. Funny as that may seem, with all this mess, that the radio is the only thing that's really working good, and it's as clear as a bell. Don't ask me how.
I can't let you go ahead in this vehicle.
Can't what?
No, it's not fit for the road. The vehicle will be impounded until such time as it can be made safe for travel on state highways.
Okay, officer, I admit it. I broke the law, and for that I'm really sorry. I am. It'll never happen again. You got me there, and I won't argue with you one iota, I swear. However, if you impound our car, I'm going to be unable to get my friend here home in time for his Thanksgiving dinner.
And he says, do you know how fast you were going? No, top of the morning to you, officer. Is this something I can help you with? And he goes, what the hell are you driving? Right. Now, we had a small fire. We caught it in time. Everything's quoted. Right.
He's just trying to sell because he's so such a smooth talker. Like, just don't worry, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah. He goes, he's like, because he says, you know, do you know how fast you're going? Funny enough, I was just talking to my friend about that. You know, our speedometer is melted. As a result, very hard to see with any degree of accuracy exactly how fast we are going. Just awesome.
Classic. Awesome.
And then he's like, are you going to 78? Oh, I can buy that. I can buy that. Do you feel this is safe for travel? Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
The way he says it's hilarious.
This is the delivery of all these lines. Yep. You have no outside mirrors. No, we lost those. No functioning gauges. Nope, not a one. Oddly enough, the radio still works. Clear as a bell. So it's awesome. So they have these, like, we're going to impound this car until it's safe for travel. You got a what? Try, you know, one last sell. He's like, Mike, I want to get my friend home for Thanksgiving. So they get a ride from that trucker. And you know, they have to ride in the back. So,
pulling their ass off.
Yep. More 80s montage music. And they get back to the subway. They're in Chicago. They say their goodbyes. They hug. Neil gets on the subway. Neil is relieved, though, you know, to be finally rid of Del, even though they bonded.
Then he has his montage of all their montage adventures.
Like, my wife likes me. Yep. He's putting two and two together. He's like, I haven't been home in years. And then he's like, what the hell? It goes back. So this is a great message. Neil already made it home, but he is worried about his new friend. He cares about someone less fortunate than him on Thanksgiving. Great message for Thanksgiving, right? And and Neil is like, holy shit, when he says,
Del, what are you doing here? You said you were going home. What are you doing here?
I don't have a home. Marie's been dead for 8 years.
I don't have a home. That's what it, and Marie's been dead for 8 years.
I choked up just today watching it again.
Yeah. It's tough.
Never stops.
And Neil's like, oh man, just, you know, gut punch to him. Then carrying the trunk to the house, you get the Paul Young music.
Yeah. That is such a, like, you go from all that to them, like, together, doing it together. Yeah. Just,
oh, it's awesome. And then, you know, he's like, oh, I'm just going to come in. You know, just come on in. Just come on, meet everyone. Neil's like, who are you kidding?
Look, I won't stay long or anything. Maybe I'll just come in, say hi, and then I'll be on my way, all right?
Just come on.
And then he's like, hon, I'd like to, you know, he sees the family. Hon, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. I almost wanted him to say, you know, It's a Wonderful Life reference. I forgot. I thought he was going to say, I want you to meet a very dear friend of mine. Is that what,
yeah.
Is that what George says?
I'd like you to meet a friend of mine.
Hello, Mr. Griffith.
Hello, Mrs. Page.
He's like, honey, I want you to meet a friend of mine. He's like, hello, Mr. Griffith. Hello, Mrs. Page. That gets me. Not really. They're just saying. And then you see Del's looking sad as they hug and kiss. And Del's looking sad. And then he gets, you know, he looks up and smiles. Crushes me every time. Christine and I get choked up at this spot, even talking about it. So great movie.
I'm kicking myself that I can't say, so classic it is, but I wish I had the years with it. Now I have the future.
You're going to have to go from now.
But
until you die in a few years.
So yeah, exactly. So I have a few years of it.
For the next 7 years or so.
Yeah. Congrats. Great.
We're going before you.
And there is, you pointed out there's an after credit scene.
Yes, there is an after credit scene.
There is.
I don't even know when I noticed it. I said, and it's the ad, the guy from New York still in the meeting room looking at the thing. And he has a full turkey. He has a plate made. You saw that. He has a full turkey, but.
Yeah. Which John Hughes great. Also did at the end of Ferris Bueller, if you remember.
Oh, right. They had a lot of Ferris Bueller like type music, and John Hughes that, very underrated. He was great. He did great like coming of age movies with the really knew how to portray teens and everything. But also this is great.
So I had grown up comedy. A question about Del. Where was Del going? Like, was he just going probably to the next convention, the next sale? And then just did the whole sidetrack to be with Neil the whole time. You know what I'm thinking? Like he wanted to make sure to get this guy home.
He's going to
That's Arlington a good question.
Cemetery. He's going to Arlington Cemetery in France.
Yeah.
It's on the coast. It's a lovely.
What a wonderful Thanksgiving film.
It is.
I think I might have to purchase this one.
You do.
I think you're right.
You need to, but you know, watch it.
And as film. You know, as Thanksgiving comes and goes, if you're listening to this, you're either enjoying Thanksgiving or it's already happened. We are full into the Christmas season. What better way to spend Christmas than going on a nice Christmas vacation with the Griswold? That's right. We're going back to the Chevy Chase classic not European vacation. That one's terrible. Christmas vacation with the very, very stable Uncle Eddie. What's his name? I can't think of his name. The guy's, he's doing well right now. Randy Quaid, the great Randy Quaid. Christmas vacation is next on the docket. So I hope you, have some eggnog like I had tonight. Maybe put on a Christmas sweater. Make sure to clear out the shitter so it's not full. And join us next time for a wonderful Christmas adventure, but not the wonderful Christmas adventure. That's still ahead. Remember, guys, you can find us on Twitter at @fine_movies and on Instagram at @finemovies. Fine spirits. Christopher, any parting words?
Yes, actually, we got to our new spot that we have real quick, our game.
Hopefully Dave will stay awake for it.
Has Dave seen it? It's a post-2000 movie. Just randomly grabbed a movie, highly rated movie. This is from the 2015 Spotlight. So Mikey and I have to decide whether Dave has seen the Academy Award winning for Best Picture, Spotlight. I say no, because I'm going to say no every time.
I'm going to try to differentiate the points, and I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Dave, have you seen Spotlight?
What was it about again?
Fuck. It was was it the Boston Globe?
It was the Boston Globe.
On the priest, right?
Catholic. Yeah.
It is a no.
Oh, damn. Once you were familiar with it, the Boston Globe, that's a newspaper. Yeah. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So, Mikey, don't you want to share something too? Because we might be like, when I ran this movie by you.
What's that?
Have you seen this movie?
Oh, God, no, I have not seen this movie. I thought you meant like some kind of priest thing. I was like, no, I never told anybody about that.
We don't need to. Yeah, we'll edit that out.
Yeah, so we won't be doing spoiler.
We might, if Dave saw that, we might be changing this segment to as Mikey.
Okay. Believe me, just, the list is there too.
I mean, those are two pretty popular movies so far. Memento.
I think I can say I've seen more movies than Mikey has.
Oh, I would definitely say, especially the classics.
That's why we're
going post 2000.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's all I had to say. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. Any parting words?
Happy
Thanksgiving. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Say goodbye, David.
Yeah. Goodbye. Whatever.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking.
Subscribe.
We feel fine.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, and I'm not going to say whatever you want me to fucking say.
FabNod Experts.